Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday afternoon, trying to get the panelists all on. We got Bruce on now. Bruce, how are you?
I'm fine, sir. How about you?
Good. We can hear you everything. And Ron is there. Ron, say hello.
Hello, everybody. Happy Sunday.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, Bruce.
I just got a notice from Mr. Wiggins saying that he is going to be about 10 minutes into the show, and we can just get started. I'm waiting for this phone call to come through, which should come through right about any minute now. I said the same thing last week, but my understanding is it's really going to happen this week. But for those of you who might be wondering what we're talking about, we have a gentleman who is in a institution in Texas, and he'll be calling in, and we'll be talking about life in the inside of a prison and why you don't want to go there. So we're keeping our fingers crossed that that line can get open and get in. In the meantime, gentlemen, the verdict just came through that the Mueller investigation found no collusion with Russia for Trump. And of course, you know, he's tweeting like crazy, like it's too bad the states had to go through all that. But what do you think, Bruce?
I just read the summary letter, and it's only about four pages long. It's an easy read, but I'm not surprised. The president can step on his own message over and over and over again, and he rubs people the wrong way. I think we all agree on that. But I really didn't think he was involved from the beginning, but I know the other party is not going to let it go. I mean, I'm looking at page one right now, and it says they employed 19 lawyers, 40 FBI agents, 2,800 subpoenas, 500 search warrants, 230 orders of communication, 50 orders to authorize registries, and 13 requests to foreign governments, and 500 witnesses were interviewed. Holy moly.
Wow. Wow.
So,
a lot of money spent on that.
There was.
So, Ron, what are your thoughts?
Well, it was certainly an exhaustive probe, and I find the whole thing really interesting. I actually watched the news and was glued to the TV for a good hour today, at least, watching, you know, the different reporters talking about what they found or didn't find, and you know,
okay,
it's interesting how some reporters and some media said, you know, that there was no evidence of collusion found, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there was no collusion. They just didn't find any evidence of it, you know, so that's open to interpretation. So, and then of course I heard, you know, that the Democratic Party, that the Democrats want the entire report released, because apparently there are some things that that Mueller did find that that made nothing illegal, I don't think, but some things that perhaps made Trump you know, guilty of certain things that that did not come out, I guess, yet. So that you know, this is all unfolding, of course, as we speak. So, you know, I'm just tired of it. I mean, it's been 22 months. You know, I think, you know, it's a good thing for the country to have a president that's been cleared, so to speak, you know, of any wrongdoing, and, you know, move on. I mean, to continue dragging this on, I don't see, and we're paying for it, by the way. All of us on the show are paying for all this investigation. So it's, you know, I think it's just a waste of time. You know, if he did some things, you know, wrong, I mean, whatever, just move on.
I agree with you.
That's not going to happen, though, Ron, right? It's not, unfortunately, they're not going to move on.
No, it's not going to happen because there's still a little bit of uncertainty. It's not 100% conclusive that there was no obstruction of justice. So at least that's the way that the news media that I was listening to made it sound. It's there's still a little bit of a doubt, you know. So of course they're not going to drop it, and they're going to want to see every detail of the investigation, the Democrats, you know, so yeah, they're not going to drop it.
No, and that summary letter gentleman says that the one thing I was disappointed in, Mueller spent all this time, all this effort, all this energy, and he punted, so to speak, in the final decision. He said, well, there's this information here, and I'm going to lay it out to you, but I'm not going to say yes or no. And if you read that summary letter or get to read more of it in the future, you'll see that. So the one thing he was supposed to do was to make a decision, and he really didn't make a decision, not really.
Well, I understand that it's up to the Justice Department to make the decision, that all he did was the investigation and present the evidence or the facts that they found, and then the Justice Department makes the decision is to my understanding, but I could be wrong.
And I'll say one other thing, then I'll shut up. On that summary letter that I just read, he is going to, he's already brought in people from Mueller's own group, from the special counsel, to help decide what part of the entire report should not be released to the public. And, of course,
right,
not releasing holding back one word or one sentence, they're have a field day with that, even though it's
you have to release the whole thing.
Yep,
you have to release the whole thing. What I find really interesting, I mean, I know it's a minor detail that most people probably didn't even catch, but you know, there's a difference between saying there was no evidence found than to say that there was no collusion, or you know, it's there's a little bit of difference there.
Isn't that what lawyers do? They word things very carefully.
Yeah. I mean, they're basically saying they didn't find any evidence, but that doesn't mean that there could still be evidence that they didn't see. You know, basically.
All right, we're discussing the Mueller no collusion finding, and I have a caller on the line to join the conversation, sir. What do you want to talk about on this subject?
Oh, I just think it's a great day for the country, and I pray that that when the final report comes out, I mean, we're only speculating right now, but I pray that when the final report comes out and it shows that there's no collusion, that, you know, the Democrats and the Never Trumpers will just go ahead and drop it. And let's just try to get the country continuing moving forward as it is now. And I think we need to have a healing period and, you know, out with all these investigations.
So, sir, do you think that there was no collusion, but that's just one thing. There are other things that have come out of the report that might be in the report. It just says there was no collusion. That's one thing. I mean, there was no partnership that we are aware of, but do you think that there might be other parts of the report that might show that there was a lot of other things to be discussed, not just collusion? So go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I'll let you finish.
No, I was finished. Go ahead.
No, I don't. I actually, this is the thing, and from what I've been hearing on the pundits this morning on the Sunday talk shows, it's like they keep moving the bar, keep moving the goalposts. You know, that at first, when this whole thing started, it was collusion. Trump stole the election with the help of the Russians. okay, now that it's looking like there isn't going to be any collusion, now they're going to try to come up with, oh, he may have been compromised. Oh, it may be obstruction of justice. It may be, you know, the fact that he cheated on his wife. Like, it's never going to end, you know. And
no.
The thing is, you can't keep moving the goalposts forward. You said it was collusion. If there's no collusion, let's move on.
What do you think, Don?
I'd like to reframe. I'd like.
Go ahead. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still
here.
Yes,
I am. I'm
oh, there you
here.
Go. Okay.
I'd like to reframe, David, until I hear more of what's being said. And also, I'd like to reframe because I want to hear the conclusion of the matter. I'm anxious to read the whole thing myself and not go on what pundits and people say, the bits and pieces that we're getting. I want to hear the whole Mueller report. We as the public need to hear the total report, and that's what we paid for. Our tax dollars paid for that, and I'm anxious to see it and hear it for myself so I can gain my own impression.
All right.
I have. Can I
yeah.
ask a question?
All right. Sure.
I hear this, and I agree that the whole report should be released. Even Donald Trump said that he would agree for the report to be released. The thing that I'm having a problem with, though, is the hypocrisy. It's when the Republicans were calling for the entire matter of the investigation of the dossier, of how the FBI used the dossier paid for by Hillary Clinton to go and get a FISA warrant. And they asked for, hey, let's see all the emails. Let's see the texts. Let's see the forms that they used, the FISA warrant. They didn't want to bring that out. Oh, we can't bring all that out. That's too, you know. Now they want to see everything. Oh, we want to bring every, not one sentence, not one line. We want everything released. But they didn't want to release all the other stuff that showed that the FBI colluded with the Clinton campaign and the Department of Justice to go after Trump to begin with.
Okay, so you're
so
you
let's put it
talk.
All out.
Well, can I add to that too? To what our gentleman caller said is also they indicated that if there's anything in there that will affect grand jury actions or indictments or activities, that if that's in the report, which they're kind of saying there is, then by law they're not supposed to disclose that to the public because that may compromise grand jury activities or final outcomes. So he has said AG Barr has said that he's got some of Mueller's own group and helping to identify what those are and making sure that they're all in agreement on what should not be sent out to the public. But as the gentleman indicated and Don too, is if they do not release one, leave out one word or one sentence, you know there's going to be hue and cry like nobody's business. But actually, he's just trying to follow the law.
All right. So my understanding sounds like our caller is Ron. He's saying that it's the Democrats that would that's championing doing all this, making it the report. It was the Democrats that caused all these problems in terms of having to do it in the beginning. There's nothing for them to get from this point on. Is that right, sir?
They suppressed the information related to how they even, you know, came about with having a special counsel and an investigation to begin with.
Okay. What about that, Don?
We needed to have that special investigation made anyway because there were a lot of things that weren't brought out from the very beginning. For one thing, every time I got ready to buy a brand new home or make a major investment, I needed to show my income tax. And the president of the United States of the free world has never showed his income tax. Why wasn't that brought out?
He's not required to. By the Constitution.
Is not required by the Constitution?
He's not required to. He's not required to. And the voters have already spoken. They voted for him, and without him, so obviously, you know, it wasn't a major concern for the people who supported him.
Yeah, but if I remember correctly, I think while he was running for presidency, he said that he would release his taxes, and then he never did. Is that correct?
That's correct.
He said after the audit, after they completed the audit, that he would.
That's right.
You're correct.
That's right. And he never did.
How long does it take to do an audit?
I have no idea. I guess his finances must be pretty complicated. I don't know.
I have a question to ask our caller, and this is not an antagonistic question, but let me ask you this, sir. Have you ever bought a home?
Absolutely.
Were you able to buy that home without showing your taxes?
There's a big difference in applying for a loan, trying to get some money from somebody, and running for public office.
What makes you different him?
Because he's not applying for a loan. When he did apply for a loan, he had to produce his financials. But he's running for public office. You don't have to provide your tax returns. Now, if they want to change that and want to make it a law that you have to, then Congress should go ahead and do that. But right now, there's not a law that says you have to do it.
But let me just play devil's advocate. He's the only president that hasn't released them. So, I mean, at least for me, that tells me that there's something there that they don't want us, all of us, to see.
Hey, sir. Good. Sorry, gentlemen. Hold on a second. I'm sorry. The caller was calling in from that. I guess was calling in from Texas, and I was answering the phone. I'm sorry. I want to finish this up with, I guess, the question, because I lost you. My question at this point is, has this all been fair to the United States from the people? And our caller, I think, is saying it has been very unfair, but I get that there are people who are saying that it was necessary for us to get trust for the office by him doing some things all the other presidents have done. So where are we now? Do we feel, so everybody wants to just move on, but there are so many people that, you know, in the parties and in the Congress who don't want to move on because they're saying these other things should happen. So for our caller, I want to ask you the question. Do you think that it would be unfair for the Democrats to continue to say that we need more proof of this president's so that we get more trust from the people of the United States?
I believe it's going to happen anyway. I think it's unfair. I think it's been unfair, all leading up to this point. Everything that's been done up until this point has been unfair. It was a contrived scheme from the beginning, like I said, between the Democrats and the DOJ, the Hillary Clinton campaign, and the FBI. So the whole thing was unfair. The whole thing never should have happened to begin with. I don't believe that you find a person and then look for a crime. There needs to be evidence of a crime to investigate something. You don't investigate to find a crime. You investigate a crime.
Well, they investigate to make sure that there is crime. Investigations work both ways. If there is a crime, there's an investigation to prove who is at fault and who should suffer the consequences. But if you think that X did something to Y, but and you're just walked in to do the investigation to figure out yes or no, right?
Yeah, if there's a crime that's been committed, right, you investigate that crime. Are you investigating to see if that crime, but you don't investigate a person to look for a crime. That's unfair.
No, but there were accusations.
Anybody. I'm sorry?
But there were accusations that led to the investigation, because when there's accusations, you know, you have to get to the bottom of it. You need to find out whether it's true or not.
Yeah, it was the phony dossier that was paid by Hillary Clinton that was given to the FISA court. That's the only, they never had any basis for anything other than that dossier. And that's why that whole thing needs to be released, because there should never have been an investigation. There was never any accusations outside of that phony dossier. Never.
Well, I think we all know that politics is never clean. Politics is dirty. And I agree. I think everything related to Hillary Clinton should be, made. Everything should be released on both ends, you know. And then, as Americans, I think we deserve that right. But that's never going to happen. We all know that, because politics is dirty.
Well, and also, to the extent that the presidency, President Trump is investigated in all of what we're talking about right now, shouldn't that be, to be fair, shouldn't that kind of investigation be done of Hillary and all the actions she did? You know, that's never going to happen. So how unfair is that? You know,
well,
they could find out a lot of things that she did, officially did, that could end up being exactly what they accused President Trump of. I'm not sure, but it could absolutely be a 180-degree flip on her.
Yeah,
she's not in office. Well, she's not representing the United States of America at
this point. She was at the time, David. And even
she was in office, and now she is gone on. Now this new person is there, Mr. President Trump, and they're investigating because everyone had confidence in the president prior, Barack Obama, so there wasn't anything going on. Clinton was not in office, so there wasn't any contest to see if we had any no confidence in Hillary Clinton. If she was in office, I'm sure a lot of that would be going on right now. But she's not in office, so I don't know why we keep bringing up Hillary Clinton as a fallback for she was as bad as Trump. She is not
because you don't become automatically exonerated just because you've left office. That's why.
Okay.
And because she colluded with government officials and Russia to bring about this investigation to begin with.
That's the irony of
this whole thing is you're investigating collusion that was obtained by someone who colluded with Russia to get the information.
Well, and the irony of it too is that, and I personally think she paid the price for it by losing the election, because the FBI made that announcement right before the election, and I think that swayed a lot of voters that probably would have voted for her.
Probably.
Maybe. Gentlemen, I'd like to continue this conversation, but I have someone on the line, and he only has so much time that he can talk with. And I would like to thank everyone and our callers who called in about that subject matter. But we'd like to close that one out, and if people in the audience want to talk about that, we could talk about it again next week. And you could always call us here at 466-688-7740, and you're listening to The Man's Voice. Now I want to bring on a gentleman who is actually an inmate in the Texas Department of Corrections, and he is on the line, and this conversation is just about life behind bars and why you don't possibly want to go there. Mr. Your name is Weldon. How are you, sir? Hello? Did I lose him? Oh, wait a minute. Hold on one second. It's not him. It's the line. Are you there, sir? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Can you gentlemen hear Mr. Weldon?
He's off in the distance, but we can hear him.
Okay. So, sir, tell us, where are you located, actually?
I'm located in Gatesville, Texas.
In Gatesville, Texas. Okay. All right, so to the panel, do you guys have any questions you would like to ask Mr. Weldon?
Yeah.
Yes. Go ahead, Don. You go first.
Thank you very much. My question to the caller is, you committed a crime, and you're incarcerated. What advice would you give to a young man age 18 years of age right now concerning the penal system?
Did you hear that, sir?
To repeat the question.
Well, the question was, what advice would you give an 18-year-old kid about life behind bars that might be a deterrent to them committing crimes?
That's kind of hard to say because a lot of 18-year-olds are gangsters. If there's any left 18 that are just hanging out with some friends, I would tell them, you know, that they need to cut up. You know, they need to cut their friends off. Their friends will drop out or, you know, die. Or they have, they're being taken away, you know, by older females, you know, it's like because they're young. I mean, I think they should, you know, avoid all contact with any kind of friends, stay in school, go to college, get your education, you know, and stay away from the delinquents because there are a lot of them, you know, that are 18. You know, there are a lot of dropouts that are 18 that need to just stay away. It's always, you know, friends. Always social contact. Just stay away.
Tell me what a day in your life is like right now.
It's a little boring right now. There's not very much going on. You know, it's not really hot yet, you know, but you know, it's still a little cool in here.
What time do you have to get up in the morning? How much privacy do you have?
How much what?
Privacy.
Not very much. You know, everybody has cubicles, like stalls. You look like a bunch of horses, you know, right next to each other, lined up. All we need is paint.
What is this detail on a daily basis?
On your daily basis, what, say, not just you, but a person just coming in, what would their day be like? What are their rates? So you're very lonely in prison right now. How much? How many times did you get visitors? But you said your mother passed away when you were in there. Were you able to do her funeral?
No, sir. Not at all. I didn't even think about it. As a matter of fact, they wrote me and told me don't even think about it.
Wow.
David, I have a question for Weldon.
Okay.
It is Weldon, sir?
Yes.
Okay. If he can't hear me, you pass it on. Ask him if there was one thing, one component, one skill, one aspect of his life that he could tell somebody and have them truly believe it based on what he knows now in incarceration. What would that be?
The question is, if you had one thing to tell somebody in that, and
that
Bruce, correct me if I'm wrong. Pardon me?
That they would just take an automatic and believe it of him, not just him saying it. What would he pick out as that one essence of him to say?
The question is, what one thing would you tell someone about the things that they should do in their life to not get into trouble or something? Is that right, Bruce?
Close enough.
Okay. Sorry. The one thing that you say is most important that young people, men or women, because they all go to jail, should know or should think of before they commit some crime?
Let me see. Losing your temper. You know, if you've got a bad temper, don't lose it. Just don't lose it. Listen to what your mom and dad said if you have one. You know, if you have a mom and dad, respect your authorities. You know, respect your elders. You know, they are wherever they are. You know, as long as they're not being molested or as long as they're not, you know, being, taken advantage of, you know. But those type of things, just flee away from them. Just, you know, sort of obey the elders.
David, okay. I have a question, David.
Sure.
Hey, David.
Hold on one second. Sir, come here, please. Okay, go ahead, Don.
David, I can hardly hear him, but I'd like for you to ask him this question and kind of phrase it the same way I'm going to say it, because right now he's working for the system making peanuts, and his best thinking got him where he is now. Has he sought a higher authority to give him direction opposed to his best thinking that got him in trouble as he is now?
What did you? Oh, I'm sorry, Don. I'm trying to fix the sound. I went and picked up another instrument. Trying to fix the sound.
Can you hear me? Can the caller hear?
Did you hear that, Weldon?
Yeah, I heard some of it.
Okay.
Weldon, evidently your best thinking got you where you are today. What have you done to go outside of yourself so you don't think like you used to?
Okay.
I'm getting an education. Let me just assure myself that I don't go back to that same mindset. I'm right now, you know, at this moment, am enrolled in college and I'm in classes. So summer semester so short, so I'll be back in summer semester. I think getting an education is the biggest part of it, you know, and what your name is.
Weldon.
Okay, go ahead, Ron.
Well, Weldon, my question is, and it's similar to what we just talked about, but, you know, there's people that go to jail and they get out and they end up back in jail again. What have you? What do you think people that repeatedly go to jail, get out, and end up back in jail again? What do you think is not working?
So the question is: there are people who get out of jail, but they end up going back again. What is it that causes a person to want to go back again? What suggestion would you give someone who's just getting out, so that they wouldn't repeat their stay at the jail?
Well, that's kind of hard. There's a lot of recidivists. You know, there are a lot of men in their stores just sit up, you know, in prison, you know, every day, all day. They play dominoes, watch TV. You know, they sort of just, you know, just kind of not taking prison as serious as it really means, you know, not realizing that, you know, you're in a situation where time is passing by. There's no technology, so, you know, when the average person gets up, you know, it's you know, I mean, you're still in your mind, you're still in a third world country, you know, so you don't know what the cell phone is, or get out and things, but it's just, you know, really, really fast, and since time has passed you by, you're always in a rush to catch up. You know, especially when you get out at the age of 50, you got locked up at the age of 20. You know, you get out at the age of 40, it's a decade of passing by. So, you know, the first thing comes to your mind is you're in a rush. I got to hurry up, and I've got to get these things. I got to hurry up, and I got to get a car. I got to hurry up, you know, and get the things that I've missed out on.
I think so.
David, I have one for him.
Okay.
Weldon, how long have you been in prison? How old are you? And are you forced in some way for self-preservation to be part of a group or a gang or a crowd? Or can you be on your own and survive in the prison atmosphere?
Okay. There's several parts to it. One is, how old are you? What are you in jail for? And what, when you're in jail, are you forced to be a group or something like that? Or can you be independent and solo
and survive?
Yeah. Okay, so I guess the question would be, what happened? Tell us about the verdict. Was it a gang-related thing, or was it individual, or what was the issue?
Please. I'm talking about a job, you know, a job where I can work and earn money.
Okay.
What did you say? We can't hear, David.
He said that the two things that he missed most are sex and money. money, he wished he could have a job and someone to share his life with, but that he hasn't been able to do it, and he hasn't. That's what he misses most. That's what he wants most. That's what he hates most about where he is. Pardon me?
David, I have a question now, since he brought up the topic of sex. Is it true, the rumors that you hear out there? And we all know what we're talking about, right?
Okay, so one of the panelists wanted to know, all the rumors that we hear about things going on sexually in prison, are they basically true? He wants to know what rumors you're hearing, Ron.
Go ahead, Ron. You're on the spot now, buddy.
Yes, I am. Well, you know, the rumors.
Let me help you a little bit. Is it true that if a young guy comes in there, that an older guy will make him that is his property?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and that depends on what unit he's on, because some of the time, you know, the older guy is not the one, you know, that sometimes the younger guys come to the older guys for advice. So usually, it's not always a predatory situation. It's just that the younger guys are just looking for advice, looking for some direction, and that's usually what it is. But they're not always looked at as prey. You know, I mean, you know, some of us, you know, it's just not like that.
Hey, David, I have a question.
Sure.
When he was in the world, he made a lot of money. From what I understand, it was drugs. Is that right?
Yes, that's what he said, yes.
Okay. Ask him how much does he make an hour right now.
Okay, the question is, how much you might make an hour right now?
We don't make anything an hour. We work for free.
He doesn't make any money. He works for free.
Now, you went from making thousands of dollars a day to working for free. How do you feel?
How do you feel about that?
I feel absolutely miserable. Absolutely meaningless, without a purpose.
Wow. Did you hear that, Don?
Say it again.
He felt miserable about it, absolutely miserable that's the way it is.
And how long has that been going on? How long has that been going on, David?
How long has that been going on, Weldon?
Well, it's been going on since a long time. I mean, it was here when I got in prison, and it's here to this day. And I don't think they have any plans on changing that.
Yeah, it's been since he's been in prison, and he doesn't think any plans on it changing, so...
David,
how
long has he been in jail?
Yeah.
He went in at 23, and now he's 40. Would you, how old are you? 49. So 20 years. Bruce, you had a question?
Yes. Since Weldon sounds like he's trying to get education inside the prison system. If that helps him, if he feels that's going to help him at all, does he feel he's going to have a decent chance to go straight, so to speak, once he gets out of prison? Does he feel confident, or at least that he'll have a fighting chance to stay out of prison with the education he's gotten?
Well, then the question is, the education you're getting in prison, is it going to be sufficient for you to feel comfortable and successful when you get out of prison?
No, it's not. It's not. I mean, you just, all you have is experience. That is, you know, the education is important. It makes you, it helps you make better decisions. Based on, you know, your situation or certain things. If you have an X on your back, that's just the way it is.
How do you feel when you get out, people know where you've been? Or do you feel that you'll make it well.
I have a question.
Sure.
Weldon, whoever the Son set free is free indeed. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes, I do, sir.
Okay.
Case closed.
Case closed. Okay. Well, we know you have 1 minute, and I know that they don't play around. We want to thank you for talking to us. Maybe when you get out, get in touch with us and come back and tell us how you're surviving.
All right, and tell him, David, tell him Godspeed.
I will send one to the facility and get you a contact. But one of our other panelists wanted.
Thank you for using CenturyLink. Goodbye.
Uh oh, he's gone.
Too late.
Too late. Wow. That didn't sound very. He sounded not. You know, I mean, he sounded in, I guess, good spirit, but not great spirit.
He sounded intelligent, but not optimistic at all.
Right. What do you think he sounded like? Let me get Jeremiah. What are your thoughts on this conversation you had, Jeremiah?
So my thoughts.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on what you just heard?
Well, first thing that comes to mind is, you know, he's been in prison for a very long time. As you guys said, he doesn't sound he has nothing much to look forward to as far as anything getting out of prison and maybe even after getting out of prison. So I think his window for anything as far as life is kind of diminished. He's learned a lot over the years after being incarcerated, but I'd like to wish him the best because it's not easy at all.
You know, if you've been in prison for 26 years, you don't know what an iPhone is or how to use one, or there are a lot of things. Just think 26 years ago, my God, there's a lot he doesn't know.
Wow. He'll be on a different planet.
I wasn't even in pre-K at that time.
Yeah.
I mean,
he'll be on a different planet when he steps outside.
Right. Well,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Ron.
No, I was just going to say that made me think of something, you know, the comment that he's going to be in a different planet when he steps outside. I wonder if that causes some that leave prison to want to go back in, you know, because they're not comfortable with all the changes and, you know, this whole new world. And I wonder if that's got anything to do with it.
You know, sometimes
Ron, I kind of wanted to follow along with what you just said, Ron. You know, when you've been in prison over 20 years, you have a tendency to become institutionalized. You function better inside the system than you do outside of the system. And there are a lot of things that happened 20 years ago that you have to become acclimated to. And another thing, too, you can go to prison 20 years and you can just go through the motions of just waking up, getting up, eating, going through the motions, going to bed, waking up, getting up, routine. But you have to set a system that what got you in the position that you're in, that you don't make the same mistakes, and your best thinking got you where you are. You have to go outside of yourself to get help. And that's what I was looking for, and that's what I was looking to hear. And I could hardly hear him. Let me say that.
But he didn't answer the way you wanted him to, Don. He didn't.
No, he didn't.
He didn't put God first.
And he did. And you know what, Bruce? That is the only way
a person can change what got them in the situation that they're in. That is the only way. Because your best thinking got you where you are. So you got to go outside of yourself.
Right, right, right. Yeah, and he'll never, he can't be at peace and adjust until he does that.
Exactly.
You know, one of the things that I was listening to and it hit my mind was, he said that his mother passed away while he was there and he was not allowed to go to the funeral. But I don't know if he had a father or not, but he has no family to go to. So, you know, a lot of these people that we see homeless, those kinds of, where do you go when they let you out? I'm sure there's halfway houses and stuff like that for a short period of time, but, you know, you 26 years ago, you had a house to go home or home. Now your mother's gone, and I don't know about his family, but if he was the only child, that would be a very strange, opening the door to let me out in the world would be blind. It would be like walking blind into a whole new country, and they just dropped you there.
And not only that, David, you've disconnected me from my biological and my generational heritage. And I build up a resentment because I wasn't even able to say goodbye or see them depart Earth. So I got a resentment in that as well.
Oh yeah. What if we took prisoners that wanted to, you know, could be voluntary, and literally let them go into boot camp to serve military or some other kind of an adjustment boot camp, not military, to help them make some of those adjustments when they first get out, so they're not just dropped on the street, so to speak, and say, have a good life, enjoy yourself, and don't get in any more trouble.
Well, once you get out, don't just walk away. You have to have, what, probation officers or all that you have to report to. So it's still kind of, you're free.
But not only that, David, the penal system has become a profit-making organization. I'm not going to let you out because that'll cut out my pay because, see, I own the system now. And I got the contract with the penal system, and that's going to cut into my income. So I can't let him out like that.
Yeah, which is probably why we have more prisoners than any other country, I think, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's all about the money.
Isn't the vice president one of the biggest prison owners?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. See, he's not working for the state. He's working for a company.
Right, and the company probably has him doing things that, because they don't sell license, they don't give licenses, they don't make licenses anymore. They actually make things that you go out and do farm work and stuff like that, and they pay somebody for doing that. Wow. All right. Once again, you're listening to The Man's Voice, and we have about five minutes.
And a few other things in the background.
Yes.
We have about 5 minutes left. I wanted to talk about something that would throw all the young kids go, ooh, and this is about people who are elderly and what type of lives do they have in terms of who's having more sex over the age of 50, and because there was a lot of research on that recently that just let out, but we'll talk about that again next week when we come back, because they're saying that we'll talk about that next week, because that's a big thing.
We'll talk about that
because it goes into a lot what's going on with people who are elderly, because now we're going through that period of time when the elderly or people who are 50 and above might be more of those people still living than younger people. So we need to have a conversation about that, but we'll do that next time. So is there anything anybody want to talk about? Don, you haven't been around a while. Something you want to talk about this week?
Did you say Ron or Don?
Don?
Oh, no, David, I think you're on the right track. I wouldn't mind if you would get another gentleman that we can hear in the penal system that can help our young people get out of that.
You know, one of the things that I found is that my phone always connects to my Bluetooth. But for this one time, it wouldn't connect. And I was wondering if the penal, because they don't, you can't do three-way calls. I had a long list of things I can't do with this guy. One of them is you can't connect three-way calls. You can't do all that stuff. So, but it wouldn't connect to my Bluetooth. So when you couldn't hear it, I have all my Bluetooth speakers sitting all around me trying to connect one, and they all stay connected. We couldn't hear him. And I think it might be the system that they have.
I was actually kind of shocked, I guess, that they would let, you know, somebody that's still in prison with 4 more years left to go on a radio show, you know, without his attorney by his side. Because, you know, we could ask questions that he could basically incriminate himself again, I guess. I don't know. You know,
he wasn't by himself.
And plus, after 26 years, the attorney you had might not even still be around, especially if you didn't have, if you had a, and there might have been one there. It could have been, a public defender or something there.
Yeah.
Hey, David, what about the companies that have the contract with the state to handle penal systems and prisons? Let's get an executive on the line from there that is in charge of issuing jobs to prisoners and gaining revenue, like Michael Jordan, et cetera.
Okay. Let's see what I can. All right. So you've been listening to The Man's Voice, and we are breaking down to the last few minutes. Seems that Bruce always has something to say. Bruce.
All right. Here, since I'm going to go towards your subject next week, sex over 50. All right. All you listeners out there over 50,
wow.
I want you to practice, and then call in and tell us your experiences.
That's a good one, Bruce.
Yes. We want to hear what it's like.
All right, Bruce. Are you ready to you ready to pay for all the kids you're about to have?
practice. We need more good feelings in this country, and that'll get them there.
Wow. Wow.
Yeehaw.
All right.
And Don, if it's meant to be, it'll happen.
Wondering where you were. What's going on with you, Jeremiah? I mean, you have your business. How's that going?
It's been going pretty good. God has been blessing me. It just keeps me busy most of the time.
You want to keep up with Jeremiah? Jeremiah is a major player in the business world. How old are you, Jeremiah?
You say it again?
How old are you?
Somebody's kind of talking over you. 29.
Oh, 29. And he has businesses of his own, and he is very...
Might as well say 30. Next month.
30. When's your birthday?
April 25th.
Oh, we got to remember that.
Jeremiah, you've
been
on the
bullfrog and a Taurus.
Hey, you know what?
And
don't be surprised at Jeremiah. He's the hope of the future, my man. We want more Jeremiahs, right?
That's true.
Yes, sir. I agree.
Actually, we need to get you on just to talk about what it's like to be in this at your age.
Hey.
All right. So you've been listening to The Man's Voice. I want to say thank you for listening. And we'll be here again next week at 6 o'clock. Okay, guys, thanks a lot for being here with me this week.
Have a great week, guys. God bless.
Have a great one.
All right.
Go Canes, baby.
Go Wolverines. Go Wolverines.
Like, you guys are dying over there.
Go Blue.
Thank you.